Solak and Bertrand.
While you work.
Pretty much guarantee a two-year deal for Brady.
You expect us to believe that?
Adam Jones
wraps up the day.
And he scores.
I mean, you're talking about dominant run.
98.5, the Sports Hub. They work.
Arr, matey.
While you're at work. Scott Zolak.
I think it's a disaster.
Mark Bertrand.
I know. I want to get it out.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Here in the building, 2-on-1. Here's Krejci into the right circle. Centers deflected. They score! David Krejci found Dan Heinen. He's shoveling home on the 2-on-1, and the Boston Bruins have roared back to tie the game at 4. Near side now, Marchand. Near corner now, Rick Nash. Up top, Grizzlick. Far side, it's fired. They score! The Boston Bruins have taken a 5-4 lead on a rocket from the far circle by David Pastrnak. He stepped into a one-timer and zipped it inside the near post. Top shelf, 5-4 Bruins.
Wish I never went to the hockey game last Saturday. Well, wish I never went to the hockey game last Saturday.
I don't know what that means, but we'll find out at Zolak and Bertrand live from the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn, where NCAA tournament games will be on everywhere. All these TVs here, all this great food. It's going to be awesome. Billy Jaffe just strolled into the Scoreboard wearing his 98.5 The Sports Hub hoodie.
Typical
company man.
Like laundry hasn't been done in a while.
You ever notice when you go out to eat or you go to a bar and a guy will walk in, a guy looks like Billy. You say, that guy's a hockey player.
No.
Hockey players have it. They're a little more
bow-legged. Yeah, a little waddle.
Feet a little waddle. You look a little stiff when you're coming in, like a little sore. But they got a certain style to them. It's either a flipped-up collar or a hoodie under like a
hoodie and a hat.
A tight exterior jacket. It's a nice puff jacket you have. But the hat's a dead giveaway, too. That's like a hockey hat.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Hockey hats are the best hats and hats.
But this is my Montana
football
hat. My fishing hat from last summer.
Like the football sideline hats, they suck.
Yeah, they do stink.
We went to that Bruins game last week.
Why did you not want to go to the Bruins game?
This is my kid's first Bruins game.
Really? Your kid?
Yeah.
He's
8. I mean, it's tough to get there. Yeah, because there's not a lot of weekend games.
It's just like me. That's just like I've never taken my son to since I've lived in, I've never been to a Pats game. I was thinking if I did when I was younger.
Think about that, though. For 6 years, I've done the call for 6 years. We go to the end of July. I've done 6 straight AFC championship games.
Yeah.
We go through January.
Yeah.
My weekends are shot.
Yeah.
And then by the next thing you know, March is here and the season's over.
Right.
And then it's playoffs.
Well, playoffs this year.
Okay, so
he saw a lot of goals.
Okay, you saw a lot of goals.
And he heard
last
that
Saturday.
Song, and like we're driving a car now. All he wants to do, all he wants, is that freaking song.
He wants to
car.
Hear the goals song.
He's in love with the goals.
They're scoring,
song.
Baby.
And
they're
that's
scoring.
All.
They're and scoring
we,
a lot.
We got Xbox at home, and he's got the NHL, and he plays with the Bruins now. Of course.
You should.
But the cool thing is,
It goes to prove when you get a kid to go to the game.
Yeah.
How they love it. It's a sensory overload.
Take your kids to
it's
games.
Constant.
Yeah, yeah.
It's constant
it
in
is.
Hockey.
It is.
But it's good.
The and the
again,
way they play, too, is a lot of fun. This
it's a good show. All right. Billy Jaffe, let's start with
Hardy's
news.
Got an agenda here, so just stay on point.
I like it.
Well, we only got him for an hour. We got a lot to talk about. And we got to start with what's going on. And we're going to give the games
yeah,
in the finish
want the
Carolina.
Injuries.
I want Chara, Krug, DeBrusque. All went down the tunnel.
Radio silence yesterday.
Yes.
Radio silence from everybody.
Yes.
And to me, DeBrusque hit his head against the wall and, you know, played a little. And then I was surprised he actually stayed in the game.
Yeah.
Then he left. To me, I would think upper body injury, which, you know, would mean concussion. Now, let me back it up for a sec, Hard. We're waiting for Bruce Cassidy to announce because the Bruins just called up Anton Bleed from Providence, and also Paul Postma from Providence,
Jesus.
Both on emergency recall basis. Not to get super technical here, but after the trade deadline, a team is allowed 4 regular call-ups from the American League. 4 meaning just guys to call up to fill in, to help. We need somebody to help
be on
out.
The roster.
Right. But you're allowed unlimited emergency recalls. The problem with using emergency recall is it means that you have injured players. That's
yes.
the problem. So the Bruins...
And the emergency recall lasts for a game and you have to reset them after each game, or...?
You could keep them up on emergency.
Okay.
But as
okay.
soon as it's ruled that the guy's healthy, which I guess beauty's in the eye of the beholder, sure, or the person that assesses that.
Okay.
Anyways, so they call up Lead, a forward, and they call up Postma. Now, they lost two defensemen. So let's start with – I started with DeBrusque, but let's actually go back to the D. Chara lost his footing and then went into the wall, crashed into the wall. Could it be a leg or could it be an upper body? I think watching it, which I have a few times, it seems more and more upper body potential right there. Torrey Krug, we didn't see anything. Our producers told us, actually talking to the producer yesterday, that right before his last shift, they were looking at video. He made a movement and kind of winced or something, and then went off. Hopefully that's, I can tell you that you hear that it's not a big deal, but what does that mean at this time of year? Who knows? DeBrusque, it seems to me like connecting the dots, that's all I'm doing here, is that it would be the dreaded upper body injury slash, you're thinking concussion. Who knows? Who knows, though? Who knows? Yeah. You wait and find out. The Bruins didn't have practice yesterday.
Right.
So they're going to announce today.
They're in Florida tonight.
7:30 face-off against Florida. So they're going to do an 11:30 skate, which means Bruce Cassidy will come off at noonish or so and give an update, because none of the people down there seem to know really much what was going on. The good news is that there were no reports of players leaving, players this and that.
Yeah.
The bad news, there were no reports.
We got managed things now. Now it's a matter of getting groups together and lines together to where you got to be able to protect guys like Krejci. You got to manage the guys that are healthy or Nash.
I would say the good news is it doesn't matter who they lose. These guys can't lose.
As long as 63's in the game.
Let me tell you something. Yeah. Billy, I'm watching that game the other night, and you know what I did, though? I pulled the father from Moonstruck. Where I'm like, I'm watching these guys screw around. No, that's
the other one.
That's Big Fat Greek Wedding. And at the end of the game where she says, I want you to stop seeing me, and he slams the table, and he goes, he stands up, sits down, and he says, okay. Like, I'm watching this game. I'm like, you're down 4-1. They make it 4-2.
And it wasn't even a fun game.
It was a bad game for a lot of it. And he goes, no, and that's 4-3. They tie it up, and then when they take the lead, that's when I – slam my hand, I stood up, and I'm pissed. I'm like, they're doing it again. They keep winning like this, and they think they can get away with it. And I sit down, and I say,
but wait a second. Okay. Wait. Now, hold on.
Steak's good.
Hold on.
Good steak.
Hold on a second.
You make a good steak.
You say they keep winning like this. That's not true. They've been putting teams away usually. They haven't. That's the thing that I've liked about this team, Hardy, is that they haven't had to have scramble time regularly and then go to a shootout to win the game, because those shootout type – hold on. Those shootout type games, which I know they have a few, but there are teams that win 12 or 15 of those games throughout the year where they come back, they get the extra point because they win the shootout. Those teams usually don't do well in the playoffs because shootouts aren't real. Hockey is there. This team – has done it the other way, where they say, all right, you know what? It's tied in the third. Now it's throttle. See you later. And we put him away. This game, they had to come back. No doubt about it.
Okay, maybe it's more a function of how the league is going this year. And I don't have the numbers to back this up. It's just what I see with my own eye.
Yeah.
Seems like there's more goals being scored.
There are.
And that's what I mean when I say keep winning games like this. Ton of goal games.
Yeah, yeah.
Those
yeah,
worry I, me, man. It's like I guess I would just feel more comfortable if they,
why do you want to play 2-1 games?
Wouldn't you feel like it's a more sustainable model to win a game, 2-0 or 3-1?
Well, I do think that during their heyday,
easy Tampa.
I'm talking. Look at Tampa. They got their asses kicked the other night by Spice the Ottawa Senators.
I don't think they can have too many games where they score 5 unanswered goals in the third or score.
You're talking about like
score 5 goals in the game.
How many games have they scored 5 unanswered in the third?
Okay, what was the game you saw?
Zero.
What was the game you saw Saturday night? Though? What was the total? What was the final?
7-4.
But they scored them over there. I know what you're saying. An offense is going to be harder to come by in the playoffs. But if you show me a team, I'm not even Nashville. Nashville at times has given up 3, 4, 5 goals and winning. The Bruins are still, as the NHL has shifted this year, they're still at the top, or I don't know where they are in the last few days. I haven't checked. They're at the top 3 of goals against average in the NHL. So while it isn't pretty,
okay,
I know it doesn't feel good.
Yeah, okay.
It doesn't feel good. And, you know, you don't want, you know what they're doing? And I said this on the air the other day. Oh. They're winning like the Edmonton Oilers did. I'm not saying they're the Edmonton Oilers of the 80s, but what?
Who's Gretzky?
Exactly. What I'm saying is, you know, Grant Fuhr used to say, I gave up five, and somebody would say, oh, what'd you think? Well, we won 6-5. That's my job. We won 7-5. We won. Right. We won the game. So it ain't perfect. It ain't pretty. But you also got to remember something, bud. They're doing it without McAvoy and Bergeron. Then they lose three other players
right.
halfway through the game, between halfway and the third period.
Bergeron, you're probably third most important defensive player in a sneaky two-way forward kind of way. You know?
I don't even know, I'd say third. I'd say second behind your goalie because of the way that the center creates.
I'm giving him Chara and McAvoy as more important defensively.
Because you know, it's not just defending in your own zone, Hardy. It's also defending in the offensive zone, killing plays, neutral zone, breaking up passes. He does a ton of that. So anyway, and yes, but look, they're all important. Sure, tonight, the next few, you know what, until I get this report, you know, I know people said, well, the best news is if Chara is out for a bit, it rests him.
Yeah.
I don't disagree. I understand the premise of that comment, but let's see what that injury is.
Yeah, it's what we've watched him in the way the years have ended over the last three,
you know what? I think he'd be better. Yeah. I think he'd be better almost staying in the lineup but playing 17, 18 minutes to keep that big body of his in motion. Yeah.
All right, let's get to
real quick here too. As we
it's
got to
be real quick, Scotty.
Yeah, as we load up your hockey calls, rap sheet here. A little update on the Patriots with Nate Solder off the board. Says Ian Rappaport, the Patriots would like to bring back one or both of their top tackles available, Cam Fleming and Adrian Waddle. They may be rolling with what they have or have had. As we take your hockey calls at 617-779-0985. Just keep it all rolling.
All right, we'll do that live from the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill. Hardy and Zolak here with Billy Jaffe on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
Are they aliens?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Live at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. It's Hardy in for Beadle, who's in Vegas for the kickoff of March Madness. That's why we're here at the Scoreboard, watching them all the TVs here. But we're talking Bruins, too. Billy Jaffe is with us.
Hope Beadle behaves himself out there.
Let me tell you something.
Doesn't end up passed out. There's a candle stuck in an orifice or something.
No.
Lit.
Either that, hopefully it's a scented candle.
Face down.
Did he have an 8:30 or a 6:30 flight last night? When was his flight?
7.
Okay, yeah.
He was communicating through the air.
He may have actually gotten some sleep then, because a 7 o'clock flight will get you in about 10 o'clock Vegas time, right?
To the hotel, 10 o'clock.
But he said, like, this was a calmer trip. It used to be a huge posse of guys, you know, that would go, a huge gaggle of people, buddies, and it's whittled down, you know.
They tend to grow up a little bit.
Yeah. I don't want to grow up. But
still, he's got to be up to watch the games today and get the bets in and stuff. There's not a lot of sleep had by that kid last night.
Nobody sleeps out there. And you feel fine when you get up because of the oxygen. You do. You feel fine. You do. I've played in hockey tournaments out there. It was 24-hour hockey tournaments. You go out there, and you would literally sometimes play a game at midnight or 1 in the morning. You'd walk out. You'd walk through a casino, and all of a sudden it's 6 a.m., you wake, you know, I mean, go to sleep, right? You know, you go back to your room, and you're like, I can't sleep. And you go back, and your next game's at 10 in the morning. You're like, I feel great.
How'd you play?
Who remembers?
All right.
I don't remember that.
Let's go to the calls here for Billy. We'll take him at 617-779-0985. We begin with Scott in the truck. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, guys, how you doing? How you doing, Billy?
Hello, Scott.
Hi, Scott. Nice name.
Make a comment on the Brusque. Is he playing tonight, or do you know, or is he out?
That's what we're waiting for right now. My guess is no. My guess is that the way he hit the wall and the way he came out of the game, I would think for precautionary measures, at the very least, precautionary measures. He obviously wasn't feeling well enough, so that my guess would be no.
I don't know if you saw the other night, but after he lost his footing there, went into the boards, a couple shifts later when he came back out, he was coming off the boards, and he took a brutal, like, either a shoulder or an elbow right to the jaw, and it kind of spun him around. And there was no call on it. There was nothing. And I don't know if you saw it or not, but if you go back and watch it, you'll see it. I'm wondering if that did some further damage, because that looked pretty bad.
Of course. I mean, it can't. I don't remember. I remember Corrali getting hit from behind like that at the boards, and he got hit real hard. Now, I don't think it was a penalty. I think Corrali did turn a little at that time, but still there was some significant head hitting the boards there. But I don't remember the second one on DeBrusque. Regardless of that, I mean, yeah, if he got elbowed in the chin again, it just adds to it. It's the cumulative effect, you know. So that's what we know about concussions now, Scott, is that it, and again, I am not saying he has one. I'm guessing. I'm probably doing what I should. I'm probably doing what I shouldn't do.
You're assuming,
right?
Yeah. He's got a concussion. He whacked his head off.
You
the
see,
board.
Yeah, and so who knows the level of it? Remember, we've seen some other players early in the year. Remember, Marchand had that, and it took him a week. We've seen some other players. It's a week protocol. So if that's what it is, and again, hopefully within a half an hour, if not 15 minutes, we'll find out.
Let's talk about the evolution of Brad Marchand. We've been talking a little bit about it here this year, and especially in the last couple of weeks, where I think people lose sight of the fact that it wasn't too long ago we were talking about him. It's like, wow, I wonder if he could become like a legitimate scoring threat. Mm-hmm. Like if teams will start keying in on him. We've arrived. It's happened. And it's happened, I guess, in kind of an unceremonious kind of way, because he hasn't left the agitator part of his game behind. That's obviously still a part of him, you know, as recently as a couple of months ago.
Yeah.
But here he is, and if you go back over the last 3 years, Felger and Maz had a nice breakdown of this going over their last three seasons. He's third in the league in goals scored. He's second in the league in terms of goals scored per game played. He's scoring them at a clip now that I think is beyond 50%. Of the time, he's easily a legit elite goal scorer in the NHL.
Yeah, he probably, and he has to have.
You still catch yourself saying that? Can't believe it,
Brad Marchand.
Can't believe we're sitting here doing this, talking about him being an elite goal scorer in this league.
And
really,
for the amount he has to lead the league to, and the amount of goals per fine money that he's paid as well, I would imagine.
Like Ovechkin doesn't, you know, fine too often.
Why did he leave his feet last Saturday?
Oh, on the Duclair?
Yeah.
I can't answer that. I'm going to guess.
Jack Edwards went nuts. Like, you think you intended to do that? You don't know what you're talking about.
At full speed, you never know.
I never understood why he left.
Because you never know how somebody's going to react. Yeah. I don't know. You know, in super slow-mo, it looks like, wait a second. Why is he leaving his feet? But that's that beautiful super slow-mo that's good for everything except over-analyzing, because that allows you to over-analyze even more.
And if two guys are trying to occupy the same piece of ice at the same time, one guy goes high, the other goes low. To me, it looked like he was trying to get his stick over his head so he didn't end up catching him with the stick.
Yeah, I mean, you can either lead or you can defend. Or deflect, almost. And he decided to lead.
Yeah.
There's this reaction that some people have of, all right, I'm going to not cower, but I'm going to protect myself from this impact here. And then there's other guys that actually say, you know what, I'm going to be the, this is the wrong term, but you know what I mean, the aggressor here, so to speak, while defending myself, meaning I'm going to get hit here. And it might not be fun, but I'm going to make sure that I, instead of covering, I'm going to lead. Maybe that's what he was doing by leading that way. Anyways, but yes, he is an elite goal scorer. Team's game plan around him now.
It's beautiful.
Isn't it? They game plan around him, and he's showing leadership qualities that verbal and physical on the ice, getting things done with the way that he has taken control of plays at times, literally on the ice, shifts, dominating shifts.
And it's not just, you know, when he's doing it that way, the whirling dervish stuff, to borrow another Jack Edwards-ism. Sometimes he is just so strong on the puck, and he's not doing anything, to me, that looks fancy. I'm sure it's way harder than it looks. Otherwise, every player would be doing
this
it.
Is the
but
difference.
he'll take the puck behind the goal and circle back out, and he's not doing anything special, Billy.
But
he is doing
something
special.
What's
he doing?
Well, first of all, I've talked at length about this. You know, the puck is not as close to his body as you think as a defender, because you think he's a smaller guy, it's going to be closer because of the length of his stick that he uses. He uses a stick for about a 6 foot one, 6 foot 2 inch guy, and he's 5'9". Okay, he uses a longer stick, and that now some people say that's harder to control, but he has learned how to control the puck away from his body more. Secondly, his turning radius is quicker and sharper than most people. And so, like a car that turns in tighter area, you're like, well, there's no way it can make that U-turn right there. It does it. He does that too. So as a defender now, knowing that, you say, wait a second, is he going to turn on me here? And so you defend it a little bit differently. Whether it's a subconscious thing or not, I can't, maybe as a defender could explain that better. But I would think that a defender says, if I overcommit on him too soon, A, I can't get to the puck, and B, he's gonna get right by me. He's going to turn in an area I don't know what he's going to do. And then he does it. And because his radius, he uses a type of skate blade, a radius that allows for these tighter turns. It means a different amount of steel on the ice, et cetera. He can go. Well, but guys do it. Like a defenseman.
Give me a different blade.
Well, no. Let me tell you this right now. Yeah. Blades are different. And
really?
Then you can take the blade out with a click of a strong trainer, you know, hockey hand type guy. You take the blade out of your skate. But a guy like, I'm going to use a defenseman, like an Adam McQuaid, for instance. I remember last year I tried I got some new skates and I was getting some different steel put in there. My buddy Shane Tuporowski was helping me out. He does this for radius
Shane,
and stuff.
Sure.
Yeah, no, former
good
player,
team.
Great guy. But he was giving me four different radius blades. One of them was real long in the sense that more steel hit the ice.
Yep.
That was for a guy, and it was flatter. That was for a guy like Adam McQuaid who just wanted to be stable,
base,
and he's skating backwards more. A guy like Marchand, all right, or Colin, remember Colin Miller?
Yeah.
Okay, a real skater on his toes, sharper turns, they would use a tighter radius. They would use a shorter one because then they get like
are there guys
turns.
That use like a cup blade to where like the bottom's only basically touching and the foot can go.
There's all different types.
Yeah.
It's too technical to get into here.
Let's learn something.
But anyways, so yeah, a guy like Marchand can turn literally on that dime. Yeah.
I want to talk about a couple more things from the game that Zoe was at on Saturday night that I had that I reminded myself in my game notes from that
those
game.
Notes.
Those are game notes from Saturday, yes.
I like it.
So, specific Marchand things.
Okay.
But also a couple other guys, Gianta, for one of them. He deserves some conversation, too, so we'll get to that.
All right.
We got to get Tim McCone's headlines here.
Okay.
And then more from the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill here in Woburn. Billy Jaffe with Zolak and me, Hardy, in for Beetle.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Well, some Patriots news coming out this morning. Certainly not the big names fans are hoping for, but Ian Rappaport reporting that with Nate Solder gone, the Pats would like to bring back one or both of Cam Fleming and LaAdrian Waddle. Reports also out that Jonathan Casillas is visiting the Pats today. The linebacker spent the last 3 years with the Giants after winning the Super Bowl with the Pats back in 2014. Bills, meanwhile, trading Tyrod Taylor to the Browns over this offseason, and last night Buffalo reached agreement with a potential replacement, signing A.J. McCarron to a 2-year deal that could be worth up to $16.5 million if he reaches all of his incentives. Celtics falling in double overtime to the Wizards at the Garden last night, 125-124. Marcus Morris, 31 points in the loss for Boston. Celtics back at it tomorrow when they take on the Magic. Bruins are back in action tonight as they visit the Florida Panthers. Boston 7-1 in their last 8 games. You can catch it right here on 98.5, the Sports Hub. Judd Surratt, Bob Beers have the call with coverage getting underway at 7 with the Dunkin' Donuts Bruins pregame show. And the first round of the NCAA tournament gets underway today. URI takes on Trae Young in Oklahoma. That one tips off in about 45 minutes. Sports Hub headlines brought to you by Safety Insurance, providing comprehensive coverage for your auto, home, and business. Ask your independent agent about safety. I'm Tim McCone, Boston's home for sports, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Your next update, 30 minutes.
Zoe and the Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand.
It is no longer wise to ignore it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Whispering, like you're in a sewing circle. It's a
bridge club.
Yeah, right?
My John.
Zolak and Bertrand, it's Hardy in for Beetle. Billy Jaffe joining us at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill in Woburn. I just have to mention very quickly here that at the Arnold Palmer Invitational, Tiger Woods, 3 under through 11 holes, although I think he has to, looks like he's taking a walk of shame back to the tee box. I think he hit one like OB and they can't find it or something. So that's going to, he's going to drop a stroke or two, but.
That sucks.
Also.
Is he going to play in the Masters?
Yes. He's going to play in the Masters, Zolak.
I feel bad for your sport. I really do.
Feel bad.
The people that are fooled by these robots, these clowns,
these
kids.
The updated Masters odds.
Did you hear this yet, Bill?
No.
Pretty good field, right? Masters? Odds to win it?
2018 Masters odds updated.
Okay.
Your favorite at 8-1, Tiger Woods.
He's favored to win the whole thing.
Now, granted, this is because a lot of people are going to bet Tiger. And the books don't want to go broke. But Dustin Johnson and Justin Thomas are tied at 9-1 for the second favorite. What? Then Jordan Spieth at 12-1.
Nerd.
Jason Day, Rory McIlroy. It's like
typical field. The robotic field.
Yeah.
The robotic mime Phil, whatever.
Paul Casey, the guy,
no pulse.
The guy who just won last week, Paul Casey, he's at 25-1, while Tiger is sitting at 8-1.
What do you think the odds of Tiger winning the Masters last September was, if it was on the board?
Well, he was the 700 something odd ranked player in the world. He may have not even.
Do you think he has a
that
chance?
High.
I'm just saying. Say, was there a point where it was 100-1 and someone just went to Vegas and threw down a grand? Can you imagine that one?
Yeah, I
you
can't
really
even
think
imagine.
He's got a chance to win the Masters?
Yeah, because that course seems like more than any other favors the local knowledge, the veterans, the guys who know those greens.
He's got to know
the guys,
every.
He's been playing the Masters now, Billy, for 20-plus years.
Oh, way down. He hits a Waffle House or two.
I know, yeah.
Well, Perkins, that's right.
Waffle House.
He hung out at the Perkins, right?
Oh, that was in Florida, though. The George's Waffle House.
Oh, yeah.
Right. Yeah. Phil, you can't count him out. And Bubba, who's not playing particularly well. Anybody who's won there before, you like their chances of winning.
It'd be great to have Phil and Tiger in it.
I would take the money just to bet it on Tiger. I don't see him. I don't. Two weeks in a row staying in it.
I don't think he'll win it, but I don't see it.
I don't see the body hanging in there, and I think
he's got a couple of weeks. It's not happening this weekend or next weekend.
I watched golf last Sunday.
I'm thinking it's April.
It's fine. Don't worry about it. Dude, I watched golf last Sunday for over an hour.
Yeah.
And I haven't done that in 6 years.
Yeah, we talked about that the other night.
What a random Sunday. The Valspar. Hardy asked me on Friday. Hey, Zoe, how much of the Valspar Open will you be watching?
Yeah.
Like, nothing. Guess he was in the lead.
Tiger Woods is one stroke off the lead when he tees off on Saturday. I'm watching.
Yeah.
That's what he means.
He does. I know. We talked about that the other day, that the NHL doesn't have one of those guys. Now, it's his team sport versus an individual sport. I get it. But the point that I was making is that, you know, growing up when I did, and we're all of the same age, basically, I felt like I knew more about Wayne Gretzky, and I felt like maybe it was more of mystical or whatever, this amazing presence of him and Mario Lemieux at that time when we didn't have social media. And meanwhile, Connor McDavid is in Edmonton, and I feel like I know less. And I'm a hockey nerd. It's my living.
Yeah. Okay, but
and I and you
yeah
know what
yeah
I mean?
And that speaks volumes that you know as much about the sport and you don't know that much. But I also think it has to do with the fact that all right, well, Gretzky, it's greatest, him and Gordie Howe. Mario Lemieux, inarguably one of the top five players
of ever
all time.
Yeah,
who right now is playing other than Sidney Crosby? Can you make a case for he's absolutely in the conversation for one of the best 3, 4, 5 players of all time? Who's playing right now?
It's like an Ovechkin.
Ovechkin doesn't get the credit because he didn't win the cups.
Yeah, he didn't win.
So in the legendary mythical status, it's Crosby.
And Crosby's
persona. He gets a knock because he doesn't have a big personality, but I can tell you from knowing Sidney for years, how much he does. He works the media as well as anybody, but he gets a knock because it's more robotic almost, but he'll sit and talk with the media for minutes upon when most guys will leave. You know, he doesn't get a good rep on that, and I know a lot of people love to hate Crosby. I get it. I understand
He's a little weaselly.
I get it.
Sneaky, dirty.
I get it. But you know what? Sneaky dirty. So your legend, Gordie Howe, was the ultimate sneaky dirty.
Not true. The Gordie Howe hat tricks, he only had like two of them in his whole career.
I said dirty. He would take his stick and he would slice you. He's the original. Original Oglethorpe.
Different era.
Oglethorpe. Love him.
Do you before we take another caller to here, Billy? Do you have any injury inklings? Do you have any swaying one way or the other on DeBrusk, Chara, Krug, anything?
Well, Krug's on the ice. All right, those are the reports. Krug is on the ice. Chara and DeBrusk are not on the ice. As I said, already DeBrusk would seem like the upper body concussion area. Let's see what Bruce Cassidy says after. Knows that Ano Chara has been reported by every media member down there on the morning skate. So right now, pairs for defense via morning skate: Nick Holden and Kevin Miller, Torrey Krug with Adam McQuaid, and then Matt Grzelcyk with Brendan Carlo.
All right, let's go to the phones here. We'll go to Sean in Taunton. Sean has something he wants to talk to Billy about. Go ahead, Sean.
Hey, Billy, how you doing? First time, long time.
Hello.
Hi, how you doing? I caught the end of the radio on the ice skates. I caught the end of that there. So who was it that took the fall? I'm sorry, was it the defenseman?
No, you're talking about Brad Marchand and his ability to turn.
Because his skating ability and his radius that he uses on his skates, he's got just amazing turning radius. Really
turning
sharp.
All the time.
So you know how this works. It's like each player, when you get to that level, like I'm a skate sharpener, so certain guys want their skates, their radius is smaller or longer, depending on their position and how they play. Do you think that it had anything to do with maybe the way they were preparing in between periods? Do you think he lost an edge, or do you just think that it was just the
No. He uses a radius, a tight radius general.
Skate sharpening calls only now until 2:00.
You have to be able to play.
7790985. Billy has agreed to stay 2 hours beyond his scheduled time, just so we can take calls on sharpening.
That's good.
Yes, brought to you by Sparks, the at-home skate sharpening company, right?
Yeah. Do you use one of those?
Absolutely.
All right. It's Mark in Medford. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, what's up, guys? Hi, Billy.
What's up, Mark?
Well, you answered my question on the three key injuries from the other night, but I want to talk about 2 points. First, that Hurricanes game. I know they played the night before Carolina, but they had a 4-1 lead. And they scored a shorthanded goal to make it 4-1 going into the third in the third period. And after that, the Bruins were down to 11 forwards and 2 defensemen. And in 9 minutes, a 3-goal lead evaporated by a 5 unanswered goals.
That team
does not deserve to be in the playoffs because they did not play for their playoff lives the other night. And my second thing is, would it be such a bad idea to split Raskin and Udobin the rest of the way through, seeing that they're playing every 48 hours?
Ooh.
Well,
because of schedule. First
thing, with regard to Carolina and not deserving to be in the playoffs, I don't disagree. I call them, they're the most, they're not even vanilla yogurt. They're plain yogurt team.
They've got
out
the
there.
Worst goaltending and, tandem in the league.
Yeah, lowest save percentage
it's
between
terrible.
Darling and Ward. But you know what happened after that? So it's 4-1. Grzelcyk scores that really nice goal. Grzelcyk's goal was beautiful. Great snapshot. Doesn't have much of a slap shot, Matt Grzelcyk, but he's got a great snapshot.
Grzelcyk.
And he toasted it. He absolutely upper shelfed it. It was great. So then all of a sudden, to Mark's point, you could see Carolina kind of go like this. Whoa, we have to work more for this game now? Wait a second.
Right.
We had to work hard. And then their coach didn't call a timeout after it was 4-3, and it completely unraveled. I don't disagree. I don't think they should be in. They should make the playoffs. Now, with regard to Rask and Udobin, every other game, I don't think every other.
It sounds a little heavy for Udobin, doesn't it?
A little, yeah. I see instead of 20% for Udobin, I see a third for Udobin. So I'd see 2/3 Rask and 1/3 for
Udobin. Right.
And listen, guys, it all depends on what they end up doing. If they establish themselves completely in the second spot, and you know, let's say they don't catch, they can't catch Tampa, but they've established that second spot over Toronto, then that might maybe even see, instead of a third, maybe you see a little more than that.
Real quickly, Billy. We have them until noon, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gianta's goal the other night, the go-ahead goal on the power play. I was watching that power play. The puck did not leave the zone for almost a minute 20 before they scored that thing. The power play is so sharp right now. And these guys are working on those loose pucks. And maybe sharp is the wrong word. It's intense. These guys are treating these power plays.
Remember, it was bad for a while, though, too. And it just goes to show how, except for maybe the Pittsburgh Penguins that have been at times dominant on the PP this year.
And this back last Saturday's game, excuse me. The 7-4 game.
Constant moving around of the puck has been much better. They've established shots quicker from the point, too. And so once you establish that and then teams have to come respect that, they start moving the puck to the elbow or the wide side, as they go to the umbrella. And all of a sudden, it's like, well, what are they going to do? And they move it low. And they also bring them. I don't want to get too technical on radio, but the Bruins are doing a nice job of bringing their forwards, of which Gionta is, and their forwards, lower. They bring them lower sometimes, and what that does, that brings the defense, say, wait a second. If I go all the way to them on that side, the lower side, now that exposes the top side guys that are getting the shots here. So they cheat to the top side guys because they say, well, there's no way these low guys are going to beat us. Next thing you know, the low guys are doing this. Zip, 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 cross ice, and then they score.
Yeah, and Marchand's down there in his favorite little spot that he can not only score from, but he can also find guys like Pastrnak, which he did earlier in that game.
Yes.
All right, let's take one or two more calls, and then we'll finish up with Jaffe here.
Okay.
Live at the Scoreboard Sports Bar and Grill here on the Sports Hub.
Zoe and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
It's the joy of the hot dog.
Yeah. Boom, like, I win, like, yeah.
But he has the ability to get skinny in a hole.
I know, I want to get it out.
Highly underrated piece of meat.
Beetle and Zoe,
Sports Hub host for the most.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Bertrand live at the Scoreboard in Woburn for March Madness. Billy Jaffe's here with us for a few more minutes.
Did you put that song in?
No, that is. I think that's a Tom Morgan choice.
Wow.
Doing a little Chili Peppers here today.
Is that what that is?
Should I mention this, Jim?
Sure.
Joe Haggerty has a column today. Get the duck boats ready for these Bruins. Oh. Ready to get the duck boats ready for the Bees?
Pump the brakes on that one.
Here's my problem with that, Billy.
Yeah, let's hear it.
I got plenty
it's
of problems.
It's like Dan Shaughnessy with the Patriots, a tomato can thing.
Well, my first and foremost problem is, as good as they're playing in the games that they're winning, the worst kept secret in hockey is, how's your goaltender throughout the postseason?
Is he going to get the poops?
And Tuukka Rask is really good, but there's still enough goals that, you know, get by him to where I say, That could very easily cost you a game.
Hey, Pekka is a good goalie. He's not a great goalie. I think Tuukka's better than him. But Pekka got the team to the Stanley Cup final last year. I think when Tuukka's on, he is still elite. We want to see on all the time, and we haven't. And I understand that, and I get it. And we've talked in it. How many? Like literally. I mean, it's probably 100 times that we've talked about Tuukka on this show in the last 2 years
right.
here.
Sure.
And he gets it because
he's the target.
Salary. You're right, always, always. I look at the goalies in the East, and I mean Vasilevsky of Tampa interests me as a top goalie, perhaps
Polish kid,
but he's no Russian.
Oh,
and he's brought a team to the Stanley Cup final, but they didn't win. Remember, he took over for Ben Bishop and then get him there a couple of years ago. I like him, but can I say I love him? Well, he hasn't won it yet, so it's the same thing with Tuukka.
Right.
Matt Murray, if he's healthy, at least he's won. But, you know, I mean, he's got to stay healthy with Pittsburgh. I get what you're saying, Hardy. Am I ready? Let me get back to your first point, though. Am I ready to order the duck boats? Hell no. This is like for anybody right now in the NHL. The team that I think has the best chance right now, if I had to, you know, go with Beetle to Vegas and put money on it, would be Nashville. That'd be the team that I'd put, take 100 and put it on Nashville right now.
You know, I think you wait until I think you're a series or two in, then it's about the matchup and like
health.
Okay, this matchup,
health, matchup,
everything. Yeah,
it's. I mean, you know, it's easy to sit for anybody, for us to sit here and spitball, for a writer to write it down, get the duck boat because it's great. It makes for a great column, or to say they're awful, they're never going to win. You know what I mean? It makes for good radio. It makes for you know a click column. But to me, right now. I mean, let's see what these injuries are. You know, you can write the article. Let's see what
Haggerty says. This is less about everybody else, like Nashville, and more about themselves. They've got something special cooking.
I don't disagree about that.
Latest bit of evidence was Tuesday night's magical third period comeback. These kinds of things happen along the way to a team that's building Stanley Cup confidence, Stanley Cup chemistry, and a Stanley Cup belief that they are never, ever out of a game, no matter how stacked the odds are against them. Glory, glory, hallelujah. I added the last three words.
I was going to say, that's pretty good. I would say that this is important because you learn about things about yourself, and you set your identity the regular season. But this is like the regular season of the NHL is like just awesome. It's like two or three course appetizer. You know what I mean? I mean, you're waiting for the big meal. It's going to be an awesome meal come playoff time, right? You hope. But this is like two or three different appetizers that you're all sharing, and you're like, oh, my God, that is phenomenal, but you can't wait for your main course. So it's great that you have great appetizers, but now let's get to the next. Let's get to the main course and playoffs for the main course. And the Bruins they've served up some amazing dishes, and it's been so much fun, and they have achieved. I said all along I thought they'd make the playoffs. I did not think that they would be this good, this fun, this intense, confident. And this is not a bonus year. This is a damn good, fun year.
It is.
Let's get to the playoffs and let's see. And I like, by the way, I like their matchup in the playoffs that they play Toronto in the first round. I don't think it's going to be easy.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be hellaciously fun, though.
Yeah. Haggerty writes, you're talking about your appetizers here.
Always.
38-9-4 since the middle of November.
Yeah.
They've outscored.
Jesus, Christmas.
They've outscored. I know. They've outscored opponents 81-46 in third periods this season.
Yeah, best in the NHL differential. I know. I was trying to explain goal differential to my young son about it because he heard on the radio, well, what do you mean the best? And then he had gone to a game earlier this year where they were up, and he remembers everything. I don't know how a seven-year-old remembers it all. And
wait a minute. You're explaining goal differential to your seven-year-old.
Yes, because he asked. He said, what does this mean that the Bruins are the best in the third period? Because he heard it. I think it was on NHL radio. We had it on yesterday. And I said, well, this is what it means. And I was trying to explain it. He said, yeah, but they were up in a game against Toronto and earlier in the year, which they were, the first time they played Toronto, and it was 2-1. And then they gave up a goal late, and then they gave up another goal in overtime, and they lost. So they're not the best of the third. They lost that game. And I tried saying, Jake, it's not just one game. It's a cumulative effect of the third, cumulative total of the third period.
I think Calvin does with the goal differential.
Don't do that. Okay.
Yeah, can I give you the lines? Or are we done?
No, yeah, give the lines.
We're going into overtime with you, Billy, if you don't mind, because Joey in the north end's on the line for you, too.
Well,
when's the last time we talked to Joey?
That pie's on? I don't know.
Okay, Joey wants to go ahead. Go ahead, Joey. Joey wants to probably tell me about Tuca.
Joey, you know. Very quickly.
What's up,
here,
Joey?
How you doing?
I was in your neighborhood.
Yeah, lucky me, I got one of the three blind mice in the middle of the period. We got the three blind mice that see St. Tuca can do no wrong. And I love you. I love, Billy, that you turn into a goalie coach when you talk about Carolina. You know, you could put down their goalie, but you never think it's their fault. Can you call it once that it's Tuca Rask's fault? And then
hey, Joey, can you open your ears once and listen to the times that I did?
Yeah.
All right.
I love Joey.
We're short on time.
Oh, sorry, Joey, dear. Listen to me. I cannoli. Don't profess to be. No, don't. I love cannoli. Don't,
oh,
I love
good.
Joey.
He keeps inviting me down to eat.
I know he did too. No, Joey, listen, buddy.
We should go eat with him.
Joey, I won't speak for anybody else. I've called out Tuca at times this year when he hasn't been good and deserved it. And I'm not a goalie coach. I can tell you where you beat Cam Ward numerous times at glove side. The Bruins have done just that. They beat him glove side. Tuca's let up some goals they didn't love. But, Joey, even you got to admit, he's been a lot better than not good this year. But, anyways.
All right, give us the lines real quick.
Here you go. This is for Joey and everybody else. Here are your line rushes from this morning. I seriously love Joey because of the passion
he
brings. Riley Nash in between Marchand and Pastrnak. That's the line you become used to. Danton Heinen slides up with David Krejci and Rick Nash.
Like it?
Okay. Oh. Tommy Wingles flanks David Backes and Brian Gionta. So Wingles gets back in. That line was put together before. And then that's the brush spot. Corrali on the, I like to call them the midlife crisis line because they're all in their 50s.
Yeah.
The fourth line there. And then your deep pairs, Holden and Miller. McQuaid and Krug, assuming Krug is okay. Remember, Paul Postman was called up. Carlo Grizzlick. And it looks like Anton Khudobin gets the start tonight. It looks like that down in Florida. That would make Joey happy.
All right, very good. Billy Jaffe, appreciate it as always.
Gentlemen, great seeing you.
Be watching you tonight.
Okay, and, 7 o'clock pregame. All right.
There we go. And drop of the puck at 7:30, it sounds like.
Yep.
Sean Grandy joins us next here as he and Max are headed to the airport. Coming up, 90 seconds, no commercials.